Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off it. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off it. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta use it only if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind the beauty of life. Was when my mom said, again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-Right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish gills, the cops, the time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib in blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new. Here
revolution,
we
revolution, every warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolution, every warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. So what we fight for, my heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
family records.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free Line, Revolutionary Greetings, Western North Edition, Georgia Universal Radio. I'm your host, Buman Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisons. Our second goal is eradicate culture ignorance among new African prisons. Where our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. That's the overall goal in regards to educating the man and the master of the people through education and transformation. Four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. We need to build our community, new community, new society. Five, prepare a new African prisoner for release, produce new African recidivism. Brandon, brother, and sister, for the transfer culture, coming to refugee culture on the streets through education and means. By being orientated and indoctrinated to Georgia University. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody who's been joining our broadcast in 2014. I'd like to salute everybody who's currently doing the work in their communities. Respect the community, if it be college, if it be universities, if it be the streets, if it be any organizations, being declared so far and so on, right? You know, I'm going to say ways to go to Lamu, which is Black August Salutation, which is a month of resistance. And right now we're talking about resistance in regard to Black August. Something about Black August, you know, that people fail to neglect and overlook is the aspect of institution building, program building, and things of that nature that are sustainable for the people needs. You know, so I want to bring these brothers on tonight and talk about these particular things, right? And also, you know what I'm saying, talk about the community center, the grand opening, and the event they're doing called PPI Week, which is a 7-day thing from August the 13th to August the 20th. You know, all they welcome to the show tonight, people out for independence, Brother Taja Way and Brother Kevin. How y'all, brother, doing?
Peace, brother, peace. I'm doing great, man. How y'all doing?
Doing well, peace, brother.
Doing well, brother. Doing well, brother. Free land, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Before we get into this, man, tell a little bit about yourself so they can know exactly where you're coming from. You know what I'm saying? Tell a little bit about yourself so people can know who they're talking to.
Okay, so we're the People's Party for Independence. We're a political grassroots organization down in Columbus, Georgia. We specialize in community development. We want to help keep our community safe, clean, and organized, and we want to own, operate, and control our communities. We want to help develop Afrocentric political systems in which our people can follow and adhere to, a system where we can help take care of each other and rely on each other. And with the five institutions, we think that if we can have these five pillars of defense, education, economics, politics, and culture, if we can take care of those. If we can take care of those five pillars, then I think we think that we would have some type of base to where we could kind of have a little bit of freedom to maneuver and be in control of our destiny. And inside of those five pillars, we also think that if we could create five institutions, that those five institutions would help us have some type of lead way as far as taking care of ourselves and our communities. And those five institutions are a community center, a school, a grocery store, a hospital, and a bank. So what we did as a party was we purchased a community center and we named it the Embassy. We want to make sure that the community center be a safe haven for all new Africans and also all African people worldwide. Because we're not only nationalists, but we're also Pan-Africans. And we want to just be able to have an economical base to help our people and also connect with everyone so that we could work together to achieve our ultimate goal, which is land, a political system, and freedom.
Okay. That's a nice little summary. You said that the community is called the Embassy. Why was the name chosen? Also, I see that it's an interesting symbol. They got the five states. Could you elaborate in regard to what the symbolism means, what it referred to us?
Yes, sir. So the Embassy, we are a nation, and we have to move as a nation and respect ourselves as a nation. Every embassy comes from a nation is a place in a foreign territory that is a safe haven for the citizen and also a place where diplomats meet and political figureheads meet to discuss political issues involving the people. So we wanted to be able to have our embassy within our jurisdiction, which is the Republic of New Africa, the five states of South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. We want to make sure that inside of these five states that we could take care of ourselves, have our provisional government, be able to have a system that takes care of the people and is able to allocate resources to the people so that we as a nation can take care of ourselves.
Okay. That's a good answer. You know, I know you had mentioned like the five institutions that you focus on. What is the significance of the five institutions that you named earlier in regards to having?
Okay. So what we believe in or what we think is inside of each community, you are supposed to have inside of your community the necessities of what you will need before you have to go and ask any other outside entities for any help. So in our communities, we figure if we could have a community center, which could be more so like a resource center, where our people can come for resources, where they can come for internet, they can come for printers, they can come to have events, they can come for a place to just a think tank, where we can come and we can have meetings to think, like to either take our nation in the direction of politics, education, economics, defense, culture, at any time, you know, just to meet on those things. And we also understand that in having these institutions that we could curb a lot of problems. So a lot of times the people in our community get shot or stabbed, they don't die instantly. They bleed out more so. So if we had a place like a hospital on a smaller scale, we could save a lot of our people. We could patch them up and wait for the ambulance. We could maybe do some things that will help save their lives. So by the time they get to the hospital, they'll already be good. You know, so if we had a grocery store, we could offer better food to our people. A lot of time our people stay in food deserts, whereas that means there's no grocery stores within a mile or so from their home. But that means we have to go all the way outside of our community just to get fresh food. You know, if we had a school, we could educate our own children without the threat of foreigners coming in and shooting up the school, or our children being exposed to information that we don't think is conducive to our community. We could have these institutions in place so that we can have resources readily available inside of our community, so that we don't have to worry about going outside of our community for a lot of these things that will help us.
Okay. And I understand that the PPI will be going on October, which is August 13th, August the 20th. But can you tell me why the month of August was chosen to do PPI week? And also why was it open on August, the grand opening on August 14th? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, sir. Black August is a commemorable holiday or month for our people, especially New Africans. And we celebrate Black August during that time where we fast. And a lot of historical events happen in August. A lot of historical figures that were born in August. So we take the time of August to do a lot of teaching. Black August is about sacrifice and also is about learning and teaching. So we take the third week of August to really sacrifice our time for a whole week to teach our community about deep sea, about defense, education, and economics, and politics, and culture. We take a whole week to teach them some things that they may not have known, and if they do know it, look to give them resources to kind of fine-tune it so that we could offer it to other people inside of our community. And on the 14th, we chose the 14th. The third week in August is always a week that we're going to choose because it it coincides with our flag, and it coincides with the birthday of Marcus Messiah Garvey. So we always choose that third week so that we can pay homage to him as a figure and to the flag, our Pan-African flag that everyone uses. And also, the reason for doing it in the Black August is because August seems to be the month that the spirit, you know, of what we're trying to do as a people is resurrected almost. It's almost a spirit that you're able to get into. Also because of, you know, the Black August activities and what we know about everything that happened in August, even as far as our leaders. But during this time is the natural time, it seems, that even the people, you know, get into the spirit of what we call revolution. And that's almost the most important part of what we do is having the spirit to do what we do, because a lot of people get, there's a burnout stage and, you know, we kind of forget what we're doing. And that's what I think Black August is about, bringing all of that back around and putting things back in perspective. But what I want to emphasize on was, especially for me, it's the spirit that I'm able to get in. It's almost like a black Christmas, you know, for us, and what it feels like anyway. You know, every day is an exciting day. So that's what I did want to add to why we chose in August.
Okay. I understand it's PPI. We started Monday, right, with the emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness seminar. Can you tell me more about that situation in regards to what happened, what we discussed, what we talked about, and, you know, if you want to give people the information about certain things, what actually occurred on that day?
Okay, so on the first day we did emergency preparedness, our seminar. So our, as a defensive cadre, as we said, we're broken down in the deep sea. As a defensive cadre, our mission is to train our people in self-defense and to prepare our people for a natural disaster and or a crisis. The reason for this is because we're always victims when anything happens. We're always the last to get the help. Help not coming most of the time, and we don't understand, like Brother was saying earlier, stuff happens, like someone gets wounded, and we need to be, there's a level of accountability that we have to have for us doing our part. For instance, about 3 or 4 years ago, we did a trial run in the community. And during that trial run, somebody, and when I say trial run, I just mean everything we're doing now, we tried it first, right? And then during that time, a guy that was running the community store, he actually was shot. So, and what happened is it took the police or the ambulance a certain amount of time to get there. And, you know, the prior training we had, we knew to put, you know, pressure on the wound and stop certain bleeds and things like that. And so that's how we pulled that off. So with the defensive cadre, we just want to make sure that our people are aligned with knowing how to take care of themselves and know how to survive in the crisis. That was the main reason for that presentation, just to give them a 30-day prep, make sure they have dry food in their homes, make sure they have water, make sure they're able to carry all of the material that they may have to carry if they have to leave their home, because, you know, more so than a holiday, Black August is a commemoration, you know, so we want to make sure that we're all educated on what we're doing and why we're doing it.
True indeed. True indeed. So on the second day in regards to secondary education, can you tell me a little more about the second day? What took place on the second day? Or where it's going to be taking place? You know, some of the people who wasn't participating didn't know.
Oh, yes, sir. So on the second day, which was yesterday, it was an educational seminar where we taught about post-secondary options as far as high school, getting into college, being able to pursue whatever dreams you may want to pursue, and also the workforce. And we also spoke about how parents can get more involved with the children that are inside a public school, you know, how resources are readily available to us, how our children can have a better experience in public school. And also we brought up one of the comrades to speak about homeschooling. We all know the public school system isn't the best. If you do have time and resources, we do recommend homeschooling your children. So we did bring that aspect into the program. So we just want to let our people know all the options that are available to them when it comes to educating our children.
Okay. If a person wanted to see these seminars, how would they go about seeing these seminars? Are they recorded or are they online? How can you go about seeing them?
So what we have done, we went live on our Facebook page for the People's Party for Independence, and we saved all the videos so that you all, for all you ones that have missed the videos, you can go back and watch them on our page. And then for the rest of the week, we start all our programs at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can catch the rest of the programs at 6 o'clock off of our Facebook page. And we'll be delivering a lot of great information for our people to, you know, comb through.
Okay. Okay. You know, in regard to the in regard to the education aspect, I understood that it was a talks about how people can attain certain free money without going through the student loans in regards to educating themselves, right? They can obtain the free money, right? You know, that was a beautiful thing, man, in regards to letting people know about that, you know, that you can take advantage of the system that tries to oppress us and get these free things going on and make a better life for certain things through what education means and, you know, come back to the community, be in the community now. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. You know, Dan, I know today y'all had an event in regards to cooperative economics, you know what I'm saying? Tell a little more about that situation, you know, and what's the importance of that? What's the importance of having cooperative economics and finances and saving? What's the importance of that, modern management?
So today, like you said, we did the cooperative economics, and one of the main points was us understanding that we are on a team as a people, whether we want to be or not. We've been forced into a situation, you know, where we have to move as a unit. And the theme was, it's a race, don't take it personal. Because the game is played a certain way. Groups create cultures, they create communities, they create systems, economical systems. They have political apparatuses that they put in place to speak for them, right? And we have to learn to play that game that way. I think a lot of, because of what we've been through historically, we've lost the cultural nationality side of being on the same team, you know, whether you want to be or not. And so what we went over today was, you know, going over, showing the people, you know, where we stand, our numbers, how much we spend, how we're consumers. We don't produce anything. We don't own anything. We don't understand how to pass down the wealth. And that's just some of the things that we went over today. And it was a good presentation today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So tell me about the rest of the week. We're going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going on those days, so people can know how they can join these events.
Okay, so for the rest of the week, tomorrow we're having a political It's the political cadre presentation tomorrow, and tomorrow the political cadre will be speaking on division, T-H-E, division, not division, D-I-V-I-S-I-O-N. So we want to understand what's our vision, what's our goals and objectives, and how do we get there, and also what is dividing us, what keeps us divided, what's the reason we can't work together, and you know, and then understand how we can work together. And Friday we will have our cultural cadre speak on the importance of health, the importance of us bringing our culture to the forefront, because more so of than land, you have culture, because people have to occupy that land. And once you occupy that land, you occupy that land with your culture. And that's how we show ourselves to the world, through our culture. After that, we'll have a block party for the community, where the community can come to our community center. We'll have food and drinks, and we'll just sit out and we'll fraternize with the community and let the community know it's nothing but love. We're here to help. Whatever they need from us, we're going to look to provide, and hopefully we can get the support from the community. And Saturday, which will end the community, I mean, the PPI week, we will have a family ball. What we realized is it's a lot of mother-son dances, daddy-daughter dances, a lot of things that separate us, and we wanted to bring the whole family together, the man, the woman, and the child, and have an event where we can all come together and party and have a good time, and children will see their mother and their daddy together having a good time, daddy dancing with mama, mama dancing with daddy, and they would equate marriage and being in a relationship with something that's fun. And that's how we bring back our communities. You start by getting yourself together individually, and you get with a partner, and that partner, we all create a strong family, and these families create strong communities. And once these communities can come together, then we can have a strong city. And if we can get a lot of strong cities together, we'll have a strong nation. And but it starts with the individual and the mindset. So that's what PPI was geared towards. Every day at 6 o'clock, you can come out to the community center at 2503 Dalton Street in Columbus, Georgia. You can check us out. You can check us out on live at 6 p.m. every night during this week. The family ball starts at 4 p.m. on Saturday, so you can get tickets online. And you can also contact us through Instagram and Facebook with any questions or concerns. And we have comrades that can get in contact with you pretty quickly. And we're looking forward to working with everyone that's interested in working with us and helping to make a change in our communities.
True indeed. I know on the outside of the embassy, I see two flags being flying at the top. What is significant of those two flags being flew at the top of the embassy?
Yes, sir. So every nation, as far as African nations are concerned, we believe should fly two flags, the national flag and then the Pan-African flag. The Pan-African flag that Marcus Garvey introduced in 1920, the red, black, and green, that's a global Pan-African flag that helped usher in a lot of African nations, and a lot of African nations use that color of red, black, and green in different variations. And so do we as a nation, as a new African nation. With us being new Africans, we have a national flag, you know, and we fly both. We fly the new African flag and we fly the Pan-African flag to show solidarity with all the African countries around the world.
True indeed, true indeed. In regards to the PPI, how long the PPI been around? Has it been around a long time, or is it new, or what's going on with it?
So the PPI was founded January the 26th, 2015. We have been around for about 7 years. With any formation, we have to go through growing pains and learning pains, and we have to understand how to gather economics to continue to push our struggle forward. You know, we have to understand how to connect with the people And we had to also understand how to present ourselves as a nation without being so overbearing. And, you know, so once we figured all that out, we've been able to bring all of our programs together that we've done over the years. We've been able to continue the relationships that we've built over the years to become a real pillar in the side of our community, where our community relates to what we're teaching and what we're saying, and also willing to donate to what we're doing. And that's truly a great sight to see, especially in with our cause.
Indeed. You know, I understand historically a lot of organizations have been attacked through provocateurs, COINTELPRO, agents, and so forth and so on, right? How are some of the ways that the PPI prevents some of these things from happening? You know, is it a vetting system? Is it a security system? What are some of the ways that we can prevent this, you know, from happening?
Preventing the infiltration?
Yes, so, the infiltration.
So let's start from our beginning then. One thing we did was we had a system where it was only a few people, two people really. And from there, we went out and got other people, you know, to join the vision. And when we went and got those people, we created what we called the 6-week program. And we send them, we study them during this program. We send them through a 6-week program where we kind of debrief them and build them back up, you know, the way we're supposed to be. And as far as our security, anybody that comes in from there, what we call the fishing, right? Somebody had to catch the fish. Who caught the fish? Who brought this person in, right? So that's, at least all I can say on the radio, that's one of our most effective ways to, you know, cut down on this type of infiltration, because you have to, from my position anyway, I have to assume, it's my job to assume it's either happening or trying to happen or happened already. All right, so there are certain measures that's taken, and, you know, with our members and having certain meetings and conversations, you know, just with each other and keeping the family close, because if you can keep everybody close, you know, we can tell when something's outside or something's different or something's not right with how we do. So most of those infiltrators and things, they expose themselves. As long as you have your unit, your nucleus together, you know, your unit moves as a unit, anything outside of that will expose itself. And, you know, there are levels and ways of dealing with, you know, that type of thing also.
Okay. I understand that everybody in the party has an African name. What is the significance of having an African name? What does that actually do to a person when they get an African name, coming out of seven, getting adopted an African name? What does that do to them? What is the significance of that? Why is that done, you know?
So the significance of that is to have an identity. Tupac once said, don't have an African name. Don't just have an African name. Have an African brain. We want to give our people a sense of identity. And we realize that once people know who they are, where they're from, where they're going, they tend to move with a purpose. And that's the reason for having an African name, to give you a sense of identity and a sense of purpose. Because the African name, the name means something. It's, the name is a purpose. It's not just a name. And that's the reason we make sure all our comrades have an African name, because we're being reborn.
Okay. That's a good reason, man. You know, expression regarding name, that's a good understanding to have in regard to your true identity or a particular attribute or quality traits the individual has, right? I understand we were talking about black out earlier. In regards to political prison, new African political prisons, does the PPI support new African political prisons? Do they support that? Or do they have any kind of relationship with a new African political prison? Is there any kind of relationship or do you even support
yes,
them or advocate for them?
Yes, sir, we do. We do support the political prisoners. We have a program, the Prison Prevention Program, where we want to help people stay out of prison, help them before they go, help them while they're in, and help them when they get out. And also we have our comrade, we have a Minister of Information, who he writes prisoners. He also have good ties with prisoners who are inside in various states. So we have a good idea of what's going on inside of prison and what's going on outside of prison. So we just want to make sure that we can help our brothers and sisters get out and also keep them out and have a whole wave of youth who just won't go in.
Okay. Okay. No, you had mentioned the homeschool aspect. In regards to the community center, what the community center has, like on the school aspect there, what it be talking about education mean for the people coming down, people that are not a part of the party, when they be able to come out to get educated, is any kind of education apparatus being established or going to be established there?
Yes, sir. Next month we will be starting the after-school program for elementary school all the way up to high school. We also have a comrade who is teaching gardening. So, and that's for the youth all the way up to adults. He's going to be teaching here at the community center. We'll have raised bed garden, teaching our people in the community how to feed themselves. And also our Minister of Defense, he has a gun training program where we teach our youth, especially because they're getting their hands on guns so early, how to handle the gun, how to shoot it, how to clean it, how to keep it on safety. Most people don't know how to handle the gun. So we just want to make sure we're teaching in all areas. We have our Minister of Education. They do CPR. So we're teaching as much as possible. The community can come out and learn as much as possible.
Okay. From what I understand that the grand opening just occurred, right? So in regards to the people, how do the people respond to the community? What are some of the responses? You know what I'm saying? What are some of the responses with the people in the community? How do they respond to the community center? How do they respond to the activities? You know, and also what maybe some concerns or what are some of the takeaways or what else, you know, about the concerns of the people? How is everything looking in regards to the correspondence?
So the people, they're loving the opportunities that the community center presents. They love that there's some people that want to do good in the world and especially in this community, in our community. Most people who come inside of our communities don't come to be positive or uplifted. So with us being in a position to come in and help, what we're doing is the community comes, we give them opportunities to make money. We let them cut the grass. We also let them pass out flyers and do certain things with us so that they can make them a couple of dollars. We also educate them into knowing how to get better opportunities for themselves, how to put themselves in better position. Some of the concerns are that, you know, we're not able to do everything. And once people come to help, it's always something else that needs attention. So the people just want to make sure that if they do support us, we're not just going to take from them and leave. You know, that's one of the main concerns, just coming in the community. And they say, well, a lot of things been here, a lot of people been here. Who's going to stay? Who's going to stick? Who's going to really care about it? But that's been one of a couple major concerns. We just reassure them that we here, we bought the building, so the building is ours, we're not renting. And all the work that we're putting inside of the community and the building isn't just for them, but it's also for us and our children, because we stay in this region as well. So we have to make sure that the community is safe, clean, and organized on all levels.
Okay. If an individual come over there, like with a query, like I need help with a job resume, I don't have no Wi-Fi, computer access. How are some of those things? What are the solutions to those situations? that people come with their types of inquiries.
So we have comrades who help with resume building so that we can help our people. If we can't employ them ourselves, because a couple of the comrades are entrepreneurs and we have businesses of our own, if we can't employ them ourselves, we definitely help fix their resumes so that they can get better jobs and better opportunities to take care of them and their family. So we definitely do that. And if they need any type of Wi-Fi, computer assistance, printer, fax, scan, we have all of that readily available at the community center. We know that our people don't really have access to Wi-Fi or printers unless it's at the library. The library opens and closes at a certain time, and it's in a certain location. We want to make sure that at our community centers, that we're right inside of the community, and our people can access these resources right where they stay. So we'll be able to handle all that right on hand. If they contact us, we'll be able to help.
Okay. Okay. I understand. I also understand that, you know, like you mentioned, y'all were mentioning earlier about the youth in the community and the youth being able to see more aspects of familyhood and unity, things of that nature, right? Is it any kind of way that the youth can go through, like, you want to say a rites of passage for the women, for the girls and the boys, or learning different things of that nature, or etiquette and other situation? Is this an idea in the future, or are they currently going now, or what the situation with that in general?
So for the past couple of years, we've been planning a rites of passage program, one for the young men and one for the young women. This summer will be our first year actually launching it. It will be an 8-week program. We would do it in June and July, and we would take them through a series of things to help them understand how to take care of themselves in this society and to give them an identity. Once they have an identity of who they are and then they know how to take care of themselves, then we can get them into using their imagination to help build up our nation and our communities, because we want the best of the best of our students to come back to contribute to what we have going on. A lot of times we send students to school, they get a better job, and they leave the community. They never send resources back. They never donate. But there's nothing to donate to. So we want to make sure that we educate our boys and our girls. And we give them a proper destination and direction, and then, you know, they'll be more than willing to come back and help build with the people where they come from. And buy a house in this community and be entrepreneurs and really help bring the community up to standard.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a beautiful thing, man. You got to get the people active, man, in regards to the community. You know, it's special in regards to how the community look. You know what I'm saying? Is the party going cleaning the community up, or they don't want to liberate the community in regards to turning into little Africa, little new Africa town, or whatever like that, or, you know, cleaning it up, or, you know, educating the people, politicizing the people, that are those some of the goals and aims, you know what I'm saying, of the party?
Yes, sir. Like we mentioned before, we want to always, in the community that we are active in, we want to keep it safe, clean, and organized. A lot of times our communities are being terrorized by younger men, and if younger men are met with resistance from older men that have respect for them and where they are, they tend to respect us and where we are and what we're looking to do for our community. So we want to first keep it safe, and then we also clean up the community. If we go into a community and it's dirty, just because we don't stay there, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect us. So we as a cadre, the whole organization, we go out, we clean up the community. And after we clean up the community, we go out and we pass out informative literature. We have some literature, like we have a pig guide. It's called the pig because it is the police interaction guide. And a lot of times we know that our people don't know how to interact with the police, you know. Even if you are suspected of a crime, you have the right to remain silent. A lot of our people give up a lot of information just talking. So we give them information on how to deal with the police. Like we said earlier, they get their hands on guns at an early age. So we have a gun rights and information, gun laws and information, some literature that we pass out in the community for free. We get all the information, we compile it, put it together, and we make it presentable to the people so that we can also help change their minds. So, yes, we want to keep the community clean, but we also want to educate the people on why we're keeping it clean. So after we clean it up, they just won't mess it up. And we've had that before. We went to the community, cleaned it up, came back 2 weeks later, it was dirtier than when we left. So we want to make sure we get them.
Yes, sir. You know, if an individual wanted to volunteer or participate in something, volunteer or donate their resources, their funds, or donate their time and energy, is the part open to people volunteering? You know what I'm saying? Doing the work, they're open to that? Or do you have to be in the party to actually do work with the party?
You don't have to be in the party to work with the party. We welcome all volunteers. We have a lot of programs that we do, and we have a lot of literature that we pass out that volunteers can definitely get involved with. It's more. We understand that it's 45 million of us, so no way, even if we had 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 members, we would still need help to get this the information out and to also facilitate the programs.
Okay. On another note, I understand that this is a party. Does it any kind of relate to electoral politics or pimp people in office? Does it relate to that in general, or is it just a title?
Yeah, so we understand in order to be a free people, freedom doesn't mean you're free from law. We want to make sure that we're following the law, so we want to make sure that we're not anarchists. So in order to follow the law, you will have to have someone that represents your nation, some entity, some group that represents you and that makes sure the laws are upheld. And most of the time, that's a political entity. We want to make sure that we're the political entity from our nation, from the Republic of New Africa, that represents on a local scale, our people. We're an independent party that can stand right alongside the Republican and Democratic Party. And we only need 100 signatures in each city to become a local party in that city. And we can produce our own candidates to run for mayor, to run for school board, so that we can reallocate resources. However, our ultimate goal is to create a government of our own so that we can take care of our own people. We can buy land, implement our system, create homes, move our people in, and be free from all the tyranny and all the poverty and all the ills that America have to offer if we just change our minds and do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Laying the base of independence, with L. Harmony S. Bass said. You know, you mentioned like the Democratic Republican Party. I know they got their own animals, you know what I'm saying? The elephant and the donkey. Now, what type of animal or symbolism would you have if you were kind of represent as an independent party? What would you have to signify your party politically?
So we're the People's Party for Independence, and we represent the people. We know in the past, a lot of our ancestors would use things as lions and eagles and panthers, and we realize that in the state that we are now, we're not even looking to be in a position to have our back against the wall, nor be in a position to attack anyone. What we're looking to do is strictly build. And we're looking to build, and if we attack, we will defend ourselves. We will fight to the end. But we're just looking to build. And the animal that represents building the most would be the beaver. So the People Party for Independence, once we enter into the electoral voting process, our animal of choice would be a beaver, because beavers help change whole ecosystems. So many different animals and also humans depend on what the beaver does. The beaver goes to work, chop down trees, builds his dam, starts building up a lot of things around it. So it creates a lot of different ecosystems. And that's what we want to do. We want to start building right here where we at and make sure we become the prototype, that it becomes contagious so that we can start affecting other ecosystems in the Republic so that everybody could join together and then we could have our provisional government of the Republic of New Africa.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a beautiful thought and vision, right? It's a beautiful thought and vision. You know, so I understand the Freedom Republic had the five states. In regards to the party, would the party be interested in traveling the five states on going to see what everybody's doing and aiding the decision or offering advice, help, and things of that nature, or do the work with the conjunction? Would they be willing to do all that? Or that's something you haven't thought about in particular?
Yes, sir. That's definitely the goal. That's definitely the plan. Within the five states, we've done some research. We only have maybe 12, 13 cities that has more than 100,000 people that's majority New African. If we could really get to those 12, 13 cities and really implement the PPI's principles of deep sea and having those five institutions on the side, the New African states, so inside of the New African communities, you know, we have these institutions that implement those five pillars. I think that we could get the smaller counties to kind of, you know, replicate that, and then, you know, we can all work together as far as bartering and trading and getting different resources from each other. Certain crops grow in different areas of our nation. So if certain New Africans in Louisiana can get certain resources to any New Africans in Georgia, then we can create an economical system. That's why I like studying Marcus Garvey. You know, he had the Black Star Line, and we need trucks and ships and planes and within our nation so that we can start to have a trading system as well.
True, indeed. You know, I understand that the PPI is located in the New York Public Edition of Dr. John Henry Clark Town. So it's a beautiful thing, right? So if the people are independent pushing New African Revolution nationally, pushing the aspect of people being aware that they're New African by origin, or is it something that they study, or they actually pushing their particular ideology? Because I see the symbolism had the five states and the embassy, right? You know, and it indicate that you're in support of the New African independent movement.
Yes, sir. So we are pushing the line. We have to have a nation. I always tell people inside America is a nation, and inside of America you have so many different political lines, so many economical lines, so many different cultures. It's a melting pot, but it's still one nation. And I feel as in our republic, we already have New Africans that are already doing things. We have New Africans that are Muslims. We have New Africans that are businessmen. We have New Africans that are doing so many different things, and we should bring that all together and say, listen, we should go and as one group and say, hey, this is our landmass in which we occupy. This is the name in which we call ourselves. And we can take care of ourselves on the national stage. So we want to enter into the national stage of politics and be considered within the United Nations so that we could talk about reparations, so that we could talk about nationhood, so that we could talk about bettering our situation here because we've been here, you know. So we might as well claim state and push the line of, when I say independence, we want to be independent but interdependent, where we depend on each other to get things done. We really want freedom.
Okay.
Freedom.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's been a very, very informative conversation. You know, we got like 5 minutes left. Can you give us some final thoughts? If you want to leave some content information, some Facebook page, Instagram page, content information, or you want to leave us a quote, go on and leave us with that, which y'all find a thought. Hopefully y'all find a thought.
Okay. Well, you all can find us on Facebook, the People's Party for Independence, on Instagram, the People's Party for Independence. We have a campaign going called the Unite the Fight. We know if we unite the fight against the ills that we face in our communities, that we could create some type of base. So we're asking that all New Africans donate $1 to our political party. Our Cash App is DPPI15, THEPPI15. That's our Cash App. My final thought is, I feel is like Marcus Garvey said, I looked around and I was like, where's the black man flag? Where's the black man army? Where's the black man's nation? I couldn't find it. So I wanted to help be a part of bringing it in. And that's what I want to do. I want to help be a part of bringing in our nation so that we could be respected by other nations on a global stage and so that we could be a prototype to other nations on how to live and treat each other.
Okay. What are your final thoughts, Kevin?
Okay, then. Well, the chairman always put it so beautiful, like, for the party as a whole. So my final thoughts as an individual, though, me personally, we have to understand, like I was saying in the seminar today, I was going up economics, and I was telling us we're on the team. And we're on the team whether you want to be on the team or not. You know, and it's not enough to just be good people. In general, our people, we're just good people. And a lot of what we do, it seems intimidating because of you have to resist. And one thing I wanted to get through to the people, especially in the community when it came out today, was to be good, you have to fight against evil. If you plant a garden, you gotta protect it. You know, and that's another reason I take my job serious at the MOD. I understand the importance of you have to be able to protect whatever you build and be willing to sacrifice for it. So my final thoughts, my people, be willing to build and let's be willing to sacrifice for it.
True indeed. Again, I want to thank y'all, brothers, for coming to the platform and sharing your knowledge and understanding. I want to thank you for the remarkable work y'all did in the past, the present, and the future, you know, and I look forward to talking about more endeavors and being involved in some activities myself and pushing the goals and aims forward of the party. I want to say free the land, long live resistance, and revolutionary greeting. Way to go, Salabo.
Indeed. Appreciate you, Comrade.
No doubt. Peace.